Welcome to World Crisis Radio. I'm your host, Webster Topley, speaking from Washington, D.C. We have many themes for you today in this week's edition. We're recording here on the afternoon of Friday, July 18th, and at this time, the following are some of the main points we can go through in today's broadcast. First of all, banking panic. The U.S. is in the throes of banking panic once again, systemic crisis, the breakdown and death agony of the dollar-based system. And this time it was IndyMac. Just as the broadcast of last week was finishing up, the word came through that federal regulators from the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation had seized IndyMac Bank of California, a $30 billion bank and an institution which, of course, had gone heavily into the mortgage market, but mainly into the derivatives market, because there lies the rub. So this has been seized, and therefore we will talk about that as the fourth step after Countrywide Bank of California, panic run last August. Then we had Northern Rock of Great Britain and Ireland last October. Then we had the run on Bear Stearns. Let's call it a run, even though it was not really a commercial bank, but the equivalent in the brokerage accounts. And now the fourth shoe has dropped, IndyMac. And it's time to be very worried about the entire banking system, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. The other question, of course, Freddie, Fannie, we'll get into that, the short squeeze that has just been put on. But also political news, and the interesting political news is, you'll recall last week we talked about 175 Democratic Party delegates, patriots, being needed, being called upon to dump Obama at the Denver convention, dump Barkey, and vote for somebody else, quite possibly Senator Clinton, but an open convention, see who the party really wants without these gangsters running the show. Don't let Axelrod dictate the presidency, this low-level Chicago ward healer and thug who runs the Obama machine. Well, the call was for 175, and those of you who follow websites like NoQuarterUSA.net and Puma08, those are both required reading in these days, you'll see that already 8 superdelegates who don't want to be identified, because otherwise they'll get a couple of goons from the Axelrod machine knocking on their door or dumping a Molotov cocktail on their door, they have switched back away from Obama and towards some other alternative. So if that's already 8 out of 175, you do the arithmetic. We have now come an appreciable way towards stopping the march of the desperate demagogue Obama, puppet of the Trilateral Commission, and Zbigniew Brzezinski in the Denver convention at the end of August. It comes together on August 25th. The roll call of the states will occur on August 27th, and we need to talk about demands from the Puma movement about that, which I can relate to you. The other big news, a Puma convention is now in the works. This movement of anti-oligarchical, anti-elitist Democrats, people who have been through the fights of the first half of 2008, who have actually learned something from this, who want to stay together as an organized faction of the Democratic Party, who have learned the lesson of Howard Dean, Donna Brazile, and the other Wall Street puppets who have been running this party and who delivered the nomination to Obama, even though he was the loser in the primaries. He had lost all the main states, and he had lost the popular vote put over the top by rich elitists, wealthy fanatics, and Malthusian loonies. The people who don't like that as the future for the Democratic Party or for the United States in general are going to be meeting most likely here in Washington, D.C. around August 8th. It looks like the 8th and the 9th and possibly the 10th. So a weekend Puma convention to hammer out ideas and strategies how to deal with the Barkey danger and how to stop this coup d'etat inside the Democratic Party, which is this long coup d'etat, the cold coup, people power coup or color revolution in the CIA parlance that has been going on all year. If you're interested in that, send an email to Puma Conference, Puma, of course, P-U-M-A, PumaConference@Yahoo.com, PumaConference@Yahoo.com, and you can find out where it's going to be. It is a political conference of the Puma movement. This is a movement which right now represents one of the main aspects of masses in motion here in the United States. It needs direction, leadership, program, little bit of organizing structure, and some immediate tasks, and that is what is probably going to come out of that conference. And in my headlines also, as always, Obama, the Postmodern Coup, The Making of a Manchurian Candidate. This is the book that you must have. It's available from Amazon.com. Obama is a deeply troubled personality, the megalomaniac frontman for a postmodern coup by the intelligence agencies, using fake polling, mobs of swarming adolescents, the infamous rent-a-mobs and dupa-mobs, super-rich contributors, read Rockefeller, Soros, Wall Street, Rubin, Rohatyn, and orchestrated media hysteria to short-circuit normal politics and seize power. The candidate from Goldman Sachs, Obama, wants to seize power, and he wants to do it on the basis of being a mystery man. Now, unless the American people have become completely quiescent, this will not pass. And this will soon be joined now. I'm in a position to announce the imminence of the unauthorized biography of Obama. I'm not sure that's going to be the final title, but if you look at Obama, the Postmodern Coup, you will see that this deals to a significant degree with Obama, but also with his campaign and with the machine that has put him up there, Brzezinski, the Trilateral Commission, the Rockefellers. It goes back and looks at the Carter administration. It looks at the question of the CIA People Power Coup in Eastern Europe, the Orange Revolution in Kiev, the Roses Revolution in Georgia, the Cedars of Lebanon, the failed coup in Belarus, and a couple of others that have not gone so well as people have caught on to what they're doing. So that is a political study basically covering the first 3-4 months of this year and characterizing, I think, quite adequately the Obama campaign. Then what remains is Obama the individual and his networks, his origins in polygamy, his origins in the Ford Foundation, foundations being the family business of the Obama family, his sponsorship by the foundations, by the Trilateral Commission, how he got to Columbia University, what he did there, the mystery about the lost years, 1981 to 1983, then his move to Harvard University, his trip back to Chicago, his time as a poverty pimp working for the Gamaliel Foundation, a satellite of the Ford Foundation, part of the foundation orbit in which he has always worked, his relations with Jeremiah Wright, Otis Moss III, Dwight Hopkins, the coterie of foundation-funded racist provocateurs at that so-called church in Chicago. Anyway, all of this is coming. Send an email to info@progressivepress.com, info@progressivepress.com. Get on the list for the announcement of the unauthorized biography of Obama. Back in a minute.
Are you tired of searching for Freak Talk Radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. I'm your host, Webster Tarpley in Washington, D.C., calling your attention, as always, to my latest book, Obama, the Postmodern Coup, The Making of a Manchurian Candidate, available right now from Amazon.com. Don't be discouraged if it says temporarily out of stock. Just scroll down a little bit, and then you will see new and used copies available. Click on that, and you will get a copy sent to you from the fine people at Progressive Press in Southern California, out there in Joshua Tree, the Mojave Desert. They will be sending you a copy immediately. So remember, Obama, the Postmodern Coup, the Making of a Manchurian Candidate. So far, the only critical study of Obama conducted from a left, New Deal, moderate leftist perspective, traditional American system, New Deal, progressive perspective, rather than from some neocon perspective, which leads you into a bunch of absurdities that can be easily laughed out of the room. Remember, Obama, not a Muslim, not a communist, but an agent of finance capital, an agent of Rockefeller, Soros, Trilateral, Bilderberg, Ford Foundation, Council on Foreign Relations, Rand Corporation, Skull and Bones. Have I forgotten any? You know the litany. Anyway, that's what he is. And if you have any ever in your life professed some hostility or suspicions about those institutions, time to mobilize now, people. Time to get out there and make a difference. And again, one way to do it, if you are even in the vaguest sense, sort of in the Democratic Party orbit or anything like that, PUMA Conference in Washington, D.C., the anti-Obama Democrats will be gathering in Washington, D.C. on August 8th. Send an email to PUMAConference@Yahoo.com, PUMAConference@Yahoo.com. Now, let's look at banking panic. We have to start with this because apart from thermonuclear war, as people now in Southern California are finding, banking panic is the biggest social dislocation that there is because it affects literally everybody. Even a large-scale conventional war does not affect everybody all the time so profoundly as banking panic. It reaches into the world of everybody who needs to have some money, go out and buy food, fuel, shelter, clothing, whatever it is. So last Friday, about a week ago now, just as this program was wrapping up, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation seized the IndyMac Bank of Southern California. And once again, that is not the first time that the cold, icy breath of banking panic has been blowing in the course of this credit crisis, which is now almost a year old, just about exactly a year old. And it was a little bit less than a year ago that in those same communities in California, in many cases, the Countrywide Bank was subjected to a banking panic. That did not get shut down. It got essentially bought by Bank of America, this very dubious process of a supposedly solvent bank, although we know better, ingesting a black hole. Angelo Mozzillo, the dubious character who was running Countrywide, has since gone off with his golden parachute, and the Bank of America stockholders will be left holding the bag on that one. Then we went on to Northern Rock. That panic broke out in Great Britain. This is the fifth largest bank in Great Britain, and was also joined by their branches in Ireland, a separate country, of course. So that one has cost the British taxpayer billions and billions, tens of billions, hundreds of billions of pounds from one single banking failure. That one has dragged on. It just never ends. And then, of course, Bear Stearns, the sleaziest, wormiest underside of Wall Street, the point where Wall Street openly shakes hands with the mob, blew on the Ides of March, March 15th, 2008, and that particular black hole or cluster of black holes has now been ingested by J.P. Morgan Chase. Understandable if J.P. Morgan Chase is feeling some indigestion with a black hole having gone inside. Not that J.P. Morgan Chase was sound. Remember, J.P. Morgan Chase is the derivatives monster par excellence. If there is a super black hole in the universe, it is J.P. Morgan Chase, that derivatives monster, which is destined to implode at some early point. And now we come to IndyMac Bank, $30 billion bank. Now, as people are finding, you have to look at the technicalities on this. Go to the relevant websites and find out. If you have an account of $100,000, up to $100,000 for every individual with a separate name on it, or a joint account for $200,000 with two people's names on it, those are insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation up to $100,000. But that means that anything in those accounts over $100,000 for an individual or $200,000 for a couple is in danger. And a lot of people are losing their shirts because they unwisely built up more cash than that. And 100, don't think these are rich people. 100,000 depreciated current Greenspan Bernanke dollars. This is not necessarily a great deal of money. It's not what it used to be anyway. The problem with this is the up to $100,000, they were paid off by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. The problem is that the insurance fund of the FDIC, good though it is, and a valuable New Deal institution that we intend to preserve, this fund is not infinite. And it is estimated that the bankruptcy here of IndyMac, the panic run on IndyMac Bank, has chewed up between 5 and 10%, probably about 8%, of the entire FDIC fund. So that means, in effect, that if you're a depositor at one of the first banks that blow, you will get your money up to $100,000 per account. But what happens if a few more banks of this size blow? What will be left in the FDIC fund? And who's going to replenish that fund and how? This dictates obvious measures of prudence, which I simply will not go into, but you need to diversify. It will not do to have everything in one place, right? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Have many baskets, and certainly among those baskets is some cash, some green dollar bills, hopefully not in under the bed or in the mattress, but hopefully in a safe deposit box at some reputable institution. That money will be outside of the banking system and is always available as physical dollars in your virtual, well, your de facto possession in the bank. So I'll be back in a minute with more of World Crisis Radio. Today to buy your copies, your bulk orders of Obama, the Postmodern Coup, The Making of a Manchurian Candidate, available from Amazon.com. Again, don't be discouraged if it says temporarily out of stock. These are going fast. Scroll down, and you will see that there is also the line you can click on. New and used copies available. Go there. Get a copy there. Obama comes from the orbit of the Ford Foundation and the foundation community. In general, he has never won an election, never won public office in a contested election. His guru and controller is, of course, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the deranged revanchist and Russia hater who dominated the catastrophic Carter administration 30 years ago. All indications are that Brzezinski recruited Obama as a student at Columbia University during the lost years of 81 to 83. So almost a quarter of a century or more of trilateral indoctrination. Not a good bet, even worse than Carter, from any number of points of view. So you can get that from Amazon.com. And the Pumas, the anti-Obama Democrats and friends of those Democrats, joining at in Washington, D.C. And if you're interested in that, get some more information by sending an email to Puma Conference, P-U-M-A, PumaConference at Yahoo.com, PumaConference at Yahoo.com. And back now to the banking panic. Again, there is no greater social dislocation, with the sole exception of thermonuclear war. Banking panic. We're now back to the winter of 1932 to 1933, when the impotent free market doctrines of Herbert Hoover proved themselves to be incompatible with modern civilization under conditions of economic breakdown crisis. And, of course, that was an asset bubble run in the 1920s by the Wall Street privateers that is dwarfed by the $1 quadrillion derivatives bubble that's going out in our own time. The question now is, this bank insurance fund of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, how long will it last if between 5 and 10%, something in the neighborhood of 8%, let's guess, has already been used up by IndyMac, and it could be more for all we know? How long will that fund be there? So how long can they keep saying to you, your money is safe in the banks? A word to the wise is sufficient. It is time to diversify and protect yourself in the obvious ways. Again, not everything in one place, but a little bit more distributed. Better not play on one table only. Better play on six or seven tables at the same time. So that is going on. In the background, of course, is the list. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation now announces that they have a list of almost 100 banks that are candidates to go bankrupt, to blow. Well, I'm afraid that if, you know, no matter how large or small those institutions are, there is a clear contradiction between 90 banks that are on the watch list and the limited funds that remain in that Federal Deposit Insurance Company pot of money, which is available to bail out depositors. If you go to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation website, try to find out who are these banks. You find out that they never tell you that, because that will immediately cause panic runs on those banks. So they only tell you when it's too late. Now, if you look at somebody like Cramer, our dear friend who goes on television to offer stock advice and economic advice, and of course his advice is always dictated by the friend-foe list of the faction that he represents, which is somewhere between Goldman Sachs and the former Bear Stearns. Goldman Sachs in particular seems to be his center of gravity. He's telling you that Wachovia is a bank to watch, that Citibank may be a bank to watch, and others. And naturally, this means that the process of banking panic is going on. Now, in the background, we've got the question of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And that was the really decisive thing that was going on last Friday afternoon. In the morning of Friday, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac had each lost about half of their stock value in one day. And the question was, could they survive the weekend? Now, the situation is complicated by the mentality of Mad Dog Bush. The current tenant of the White House comes from a family. The family religion is hatred of Franklin D. Roosevelt and hatred of the New Deal. This goes back to Prescott Bush, hates Roosevelt and the New Deal. As a matter of fact, Prescott Bush was part of the liberal Republican Wendell Willkie agitation of 1940. A last-ditch bid to get Roosevelt out, and it failed. Prescott Bush joined with Samuel Pryor of Remington Arms, liberal Republicans from Connecticut, to try to put up Wendell Willkie, the Wall Street liberal Republican, as a candidate against Roosevelt. Obviously an abject failure, but this is what they did. And Bush the Elder, the previous president is also characterized by various episodes in his biography. You can see that in my account of his life, George Bush, the Unauthorized Biography, at tarpley.net. Take a look. It's been up there for almost 12 years now, the oldest continuous anti-Bush dynasty website in the world, I do believe. Anyway, you can see there that that Bush the Elder is also a hater of Roosevelt. So this is the tradition of the Roosevelt haters, the blue bloods, the aristocrats, the oligarchs who want to feed at the public trough. So little George Bush, last Friday afternoon or around midday, had his head filled with ideas that he would allow Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to go bankrupt, and he would get rid of them because they are vestiges of the New Deal, and he hates the New Deal. And they have Franklin D. Roosevelt's imprimatur on them going back to 1938. Roosevelt signed the bill, creating Fannie in particular. So Bush was going to let that go down without even waiting for Bush's okay. Hanky Panky Paulson of the Principals Committee, the entity that is now running the United States government, not Bush, not Cheney, not neocons, but the trilateral Rockefeller, Brzezinski, Soros Principals Committee, made up of Secretary Gates of the Defense Department, Secretary Rice of the State Department, Hanky Panky Paulson of Goldman Sachs, but now of the Treasury, and Admiral Mullen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's what's running the country, not Bush and not Cheney. They had already put out the word that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac would be allowed to go to the discount window or one of these lending facilities of the Federal Reserve and borrow money at special low rates. In other words, they're not commercial banks. They're not even investment banks. We've now got a situation where the Federal Reserve is now trying to prop up commercial banks, not doing too well, as we see with IndyBank, trying to prop up Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, the various investment banks of Wall Street, and now the Federal Reserve is also trying to prop up Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And what Paulson told Bush last Friday afternoon was, listen, little fellow, I know you have this ideological shtick that you want to destroy Fannie and Freddie, but if you do that, you will have a systemic crisis right here, right now, this afternoon. He may have gone into this question of CHIPS that I've talked about before, Clearinghouse Interbank Payment System. If you can't have a settlement at the end of the day in New York, the heart of Anglo-American imperialism stops beating. So Paulson went to Bush and said, look, you're going to bail them out and you're going to like it. So get out there and talk about some kind of a bailout. And, of course, Bernanke already on board. And that's how they saved the day last Friday. But that's not all. We then have a very dramatic short squeeze. We'll tell you about that in just a minute. Radio, Webster Tarpley here in Washington, D.C., reminding you, you've got to get your copy of Obama, the Postmodern Coup, the making of a Manchurian candidate. Obama's Lemming Legions and Kool-Aid cult candidacy harken back to Italy of 1919-1922 and raise the specter of postmodern fascism in the United States today. Read about this because it's not what you think if you've been getting your ideas from somebody like Naomi Wolf, right? She has, I think, 10 or 12 steps to fascism. She doesn't have the main ones, but Obama, the postmodern coup, does. And there we see that Obama is indeed a recipe for a world tragedy. No voter, no citizen, no person can afford to ignore the lessons contained in Obama, the Postmodern Coup, the making of a Manchurian candidate. Get it at Amazon.com. Scroll down to new and used copies available and buy it there. There are plenty of copies available on that line, even if it says that the edition is not in stock. It is in stock, just not through Amazon, but through the Amazon Marketplace. And the Puma movement, as we'll talk about in the second hour, gathering force. Obama's poll numbers are cratering. He claims that he brought in a bunch of swag in the last month, but of course he's got Rockefeller, Soros, Rohatyn, Rubin, and the rest of the Wall Street fat cats in his corner, so that's no surprise. Bundling for Barkey, bundles for Barkey are coming in from Goldman Sachs, from all those lobbyist law firms that he says he never takes money from. So that's not a surprise. But among the people, Obama does not look good. Even Donna Brazile says this was an awful beginning for the Obama campaign. Anyway, the opposition are the Puma Democrats, and other forces are certainly mobilizing also. There is a Puma conference on the agenda now in Washington, D.C. for August 8th, 9th, and 10th, coming right up, 2 to 3 weeks ahead. And you can find out about that by sending an email to Puma Conference, P-U-M-A, PumaConference@yahoo.com. And if you're anywhere in the D.C. area, find out about it. Also find out about Internet hookups that will be set up in other key centers, you know, Los Angeles, in the belly of the beast in Chicago, certainly. Because, of course, there's a lot of people in Chicago who don't like the idea of getting a corrupt ward-healing grafter and putting him in the White House. But we're still back now with the situation on the banking panic front. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, these are, of course, $5 to $6 trillion of mortgages. They are either guaranteed by Fannie and Freddie. Some of them are actually issued by Fannie and Freddie, and then some of them are turned into derivatives. The interest of the Wall Street Group is always to keep these institutions out of bankruptcy and to try to preserve the derivatives book. And, of course, that's what we have to aim at. The whole point of a reorganization under Chapter 11 right now will be to delete the derivatives book. Derivatives have to go. You can outlaw them, delete them, shred them. I've proposed taxing them out of existence because I think that's an educational way that people can understand more readily, because, of course, there's a big taboo about talking about derivatives in the controlled corporate media. The essential time bomb under the world economy is $1 quadrillion plus by now, maybe 1.2 quadrillion, 1.5 quadrillion, I don't know. Nobody tells you these things. But in that ballpark, $1 quadrillion plus of derivatives. And whereas in past years, from the time that this was started by Greenspan around 1992, 1993, when people really thought that derivatives might well be illegal until Greenspan decided that, no, they were fine, and that's exactly what we needed. Bubbles Greenspan launched this bubble, and we're now up to 1.2 or whatever it is, quadrillion. The problem is that there had been positive leverage going on. In other words, as long as the bubble was going up, the worldwide asset bubble of all categories, not just dot-coms, housing, third world debt, whatever it is, it was a worldwide asset bubble. As long as that quadrillion of derivatives was in positive leverage, then that multiplied the profits. The problem is, with the detonation of the subprime mortgage crisis, the whole thing has gone into negative leverage. We have kicked over into negative leverage. The whole leverage mechanism has shifted into reverse gear. And this is now pyramiding the losses. It is multiplying the losses in geometric proportion to the 8th, 9th, 10th, 100th power. And that is bringing down the system. When you see somebody like Cramer's line is a very interesting one. On one of these programs yesterday, was it MSNBC, the Brzezinski Network, Obama Vision? Cramer gets on there and says, oh, it's a very small percentage of the subprime mortgages and mortgages. It's only 1 to 2% that are in danger of default, where people are not paying. Cramer, therefore, says what we need is a resolution trust corporation for about 2 years to cover the mortgages that were issued in the Bernanke era. That is to say, in the last 2 years or so, Just take those mortgages. Those seem to be the most marginal ones. Those are the ones where the default rate and bankruptcy rate and foreclosure rate is the highest. Just take those out of the market and freeze them. Resolution Trust Corporation, of course, means that the taxpayer will be footing the bill for the Wall Street jackals, hyenas, vultures, lampreys, and ticks that we're so familiar with. Resolution Trust Corporation is a creature of Bush the Elder, going back to the late 1980s, early 1990s, to clean up the monstrous debacle of the savings and loan crisis. Kramer says, look, it's just a small percentage. We need an RTC, a Resolution Trust Corporation, to wrap that up. Of course, that means hundreds and hundreds of billions. The figure given by Kramer, he says, first, we could do it with $200 billion over 2 years, but then he says it's actually $1.2 trillion, I believe. Problem is, Jim, it's one quadrillion plus, because the problem is not just the narrow definition of the subprime mortgages or marginal mortgages or adjustable rate mortgages or any kind of mortgages. This has now kicked the entire derivatives bubble into reverse gear. That's the problem. You will not get out of this crisis unless you address the one quadrillion of derivatives, one quadrillion plus plus, as we would now have to say. The only way you deal with that is New Deal measures, powerful government intervention to wipe out those derivatives. They must go. There's a clear choice in the world today. The future of human life and human civilization on the one hand, and any and all attempts to maintain the derivatives books of these parasitical institutions on the other. They've got to be seized. They've got to be put through Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And in the process of that, we've got to get some good judges going, and we can do that too, in order to have the Chapter 11 procedure essentially guided. We can make a federal law that says if you go into Chapter 11, one of the features of that is that your derivatives book is placed last among all the assets competing for attention, and indeed it will be wiped out. We should tax it out of existence, make it illegal, and do it every way you can, right? Gambling is largely illegal, or was, but those monies had to be reported, and that was a way you could go after them as well. So Kramer says again, Wachovia, Lehman, Bank of America, Citibank. That's a pretty chilling list, Jim. So, again, a word to the wise is sufficient. The only way you get out of this, though, as a society, is wipe out those derivatives. Now, Fannie and Freddie are busily borrowing from the Federal Reserve. You've also got some, though, that are, well, Lehman Brothers is also in a position to borrow from the Federal Reserve. We'll be back with more updates on this crisis here in just a minute on World Crisis Radio. To the second hour of this week's edition of World Crisis Radio. This is Webster Topley in Washington, D.C., welcoming you back, calling your attention, as always, to Obama, the postmodern coup, the making of a Manchurian candidate. Trilateral Commission co-founder Brzezinski, who runs Obama, wants a global showdown with Russia and China, far more dangerous for the United States than the Bush-Cheney Iraq adventure. You better believe it. We just heard that this character Bork from Iceland, is she any relation to Robert Bork, shouting about Tibet in China, declare independence? Bjork, are you an agent of Zbigniew Brzezinski? Are you a harbinger of a feudal restoration under the dilly-dally in Tibet? This is all a monstrous imposture, and nobody should fall for it. But we also have now the problem of stopping Obama in Denver. We'll talk about that a little bit more in this hour. the big thing is the PUMA conference coming up in Washington, D.C., August 8th, 9th, and 10th, Washington, D.C., and Internet hookups in other cities and other forms of access I'm sure will be available. The main thing is to send in an indication that you're interested to PUMAConference@Yahoo.com, PUMA, P-U-M-A, PUMAConference@Yahoo.com. These are the anti-elitist, anti-oligarchical Democrats, the ones that I hope will be the most open to a return to the traditional New Deal approach of Franklin D. Roosevelt, the traditional values that represent the positive side of the Democratic Party. And believe that there was one, hard to imagine today, but historically it has been there. So don't despair. Get active and mobilize. Plan to come to Washington, D.C. Find out at PUMAConference@Yahoo.com. Let me also say, Larry Sinclair, a leading critic of Obama, has been subject to incredible persecution here in Washington, D.C., arrested after his National Press Club speech, and then dragged off by Bo Biden, the nepotist mediocrity, the son of Senator Joe Biden, the one with the plugs in his head, and dragged off to Delaware for some kind of attempted judicial frame-up. So there have been cyber attacks coming from Obama's myrmidons against Larry Sinclair's website. I'm glad to say Larry Sinclair has his blog back up. He's got two websites. One is the LarrySinclair.org, I believe. Take a look at that. That has all the material from his landmark press conference here at the National Press Club. And look at his blog, which is now also back up. And above all, scroll down there, find the PayPal link, make a contribution to Larry Sinclair's legal defense. He deserves our solidarity. This is one of the several prongs or echelons of scandal converging on the Manchurian candidate, Obama. Back, however, just for one more segment to the banking crisis, the financial crisis. This, of course, is an unbelievably large series of developments. By Monday of the week that's now ending, we're recording here on Friday afternoon, July 18th. By Monday of this week, it really looked like the entire banking sector was going to go into meltdown, that we would have a systemic crisis. We've just, in a sense, we've just had another brush after the one in the middle of March. We've just had another brush with systemic crisis. This is undoubtedly what Paulson told Little Bushman on Friday afternoon, and by Monday and Tuesday, this looked really grim because you had huge losses in Lehman Brothers, J.P. Morgan, Citibank, Wachovia, Union Bank of Switzerland. Citibank was about to go out of the teens through the floor of the teens rather than getting out above 19 to 20. So what they obviously did was, in addition to pumping Federal Reserve money into Fannie and Freddie, they organized a rather large-scale short squeeze. And this is the plunge protection team, right, the PPT. This is the mechanism set up by Secretary of the Treasury Nicholas Brady. It goes back to a report delivered on a cold day here in Washington, January 1988, right after the crash of 87. This was Nick Brady, the white shoe investment banker from Wall Street, friend of Bush the Elder, came up with this idea that you have the Chicago futures market, and you know the routine. As long as you use Federal Reserve funds to pump up the price of the Chicago futures, then the program traders will sell the future and buy the stock. And with $10 or $20 million in Chicago, you can generate hundreds of millions of dollars of updraft in the underlying stock market in New York, and this all takes place in Chicago under the practically non-existent regulatory regime of the Commodity Futures Trading Corporation, rather than under the somewhat more, well, anyway, a little bit more serious regulatory regime of the Securities and Exchange Commission, although under this guy, the one that they have now, this is practically nothing also. So anyway, the PPT came in massively. They battened on to a good result announced by Wells Fargo and used that to essentially try to turn the market around on the 16th, on Wednesday, I believe it was. And Wednesday the 16th, the banking index went up the most that it's ever gone up in 5 years, 7 years, basically a 20% rise in banking stocks based on nothing, based on the fact that that Wells Fargo hadn't done as badly as they thought. This obviously the hand of the PPT, plunge protection team in action, and then that buoyed up the entire market. They also used PPT to try to reanimate the stock of General Motors. Forward a little bit, General Motors stock is up almost 40 to 50% just this past week, and this is obviously the PPT. So also you have to figure the fall in the price of oil. Oil is down about $10 from where it was last week. Right now it's about $129 a barrel. Last week it had been up $15 higher, $145. That's also the PPT. It's really hard to see whether you have any particular fundamentals changing underneath. I really doubt it. I think this is just a quick fix in order to convince people that when the Federal Reserve comes in to bail out Fannie and Freddie, it's going to look like the entire system has gotten a second wind, but it's really just the PPT. And as soon as the PPT futures manipulations recede, because they can't go on forever with this, then you're going to see the same old problems reassert themselves. I think that's the overall picture. Gold, of course, continues to be strong, although it has also been hit. That's another thing that the PPT does. They do support operations in favor of paper. But none of this changes the fact that 90 to 100 significant banks are on the death spiral list, and that does not include some of these investment banks. Notice also Merrill Lynch, a $2.5 billion loss, bad result. This is now at the end of the week. They knew this was coming. That's why they had to do the short squeeze on Wednesday. Citibank lost $2.5 billion in the past quarter. And the situation now is so bad that a $2.5 billion loss is greeted with relief by the investors. They say, well, that wasn't as bad as we thought. Thank God. All right. The other thing, of course, is they needed a short squeeze because a lot of people, you can go to the Yahoo message boards and see these people talk to each other. A lot of people were shorting these banks because it looked like, you know, there were two sure things in town. One, that oil would go up, and the other one was that Lehman Brothers would go down. So a lot of people were long oil and short Lehman and a few others. And, of course, the PPT comes in, manipulates the price, and wipes out quite a few of these little shorts. But there'll be other shorts, and these shorts will also be back. And we'll be back in just a minute here with World Crisis Radio.
Cascadia Public Radio.
Tarpley in Washington, D.C. Got to get your copies of Obama, the Postmodern Coup, the Making of a Manchurian Candidate from Amazon.com. It is available there. Go down to New and Used Available and buy it, Amazon.com. Remember also the very important date for midsummer, the PUMA Conference, P-U-M-A, anti-Obama Democrats and others, all sorts of people. PUMA Conference at Yahoo.com. Send them an email and find out about when and where this is going to be. Remember, Larry Sinclair has been waging the good fight, attempting to expose things about Obama that not just Axelrod, but the controlled corporate media, the trilateral Rockefeller faction is trying to hide. go to Larry Sinclair's blog website, provide a contribution to his legal defense fund. So that was it this past week. On the 16th, a huge short squeeze organized by the PPT, by Paulson, by Bernanke. It was also time to coincide with the Humphrey Hawkins testimony of Bernanke to the House and the Senate, so he wouldn't look quite as impotent as he was. Now, this shades over gradually into the question of the gasoline price. Oil price is down $15. Gasoline price now dipping below $4 in some places, still outrageous. They may have been a sense that they didn't want to kill the goose with the golden eggs, and if they kept driving the price up, there would be, even under the Mad Dog Bush regime, some kind of a response. Again, what we need is the Emergency Energy Stabilization Program. You can find that at actindependent.org, actindependent.org. That calls for a Tobin tax on all derivatives to wipe them out, windfall profits tax on the profits of the oil cartels, 50%, 75% tax on profits from energy speculation by any financial institution, and then the sneak attack. The kind of sneak attack I have in mind is exactly what they did this week against the people who were shorting Lehman, but I would do it against the people who were long oil, and that would be one dark, moonless night after having given fair warning, right? You need to have a president who comes out and says, I am pointedly warning all interested parties that I am going to feel free to release amounts of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve without warning at any time from now on. So don't speculate. And then 1, 2, 3 weeks later, who knows when, some Saturday night or Sunday night, you release 20 to 25% of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve on the market. You drive down those prices. You bankrupt the speculators. You find out who they are because they'll be lining up in bankruptcy court the next day. You stop Bernanke from bailing them out because those are parasites and sharks and they must go. So you need all that. You also need position limits in the markets. You need to have a strict distinction between hedgers and speculators. These are not the same. Hedgers are people who are going to take delivery at the end of the process. Speculators are those who will not. No more video barrels, no more paper barrels, and a 50% margin requirement to start with, and if that doesn't work, take it to a 100% margin requirement. No speculating in the oil market with borrowed money, and don't have a market that's dominated by Goldman Sachs through the ICE exchange, the Intercontinental Exchange of London, an offshore insurrectionary entity set up by Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. Shut that down. Even under existing law, you can impose that any barrel of oil that's going to find its end destination in the United States has got to be traded under U.S. law. Otherwise, you can't bring it in. So don't be worried if they say, oh, the speculators will all run offshore. Yeah, let them run offshore and let them sink into the Atlantic Ocean. We don't need them. We'll do better without them, and we can keep their influence from reaching into the United States, but only under New Deal activist measures. That's the essence of the current crisis. So gasoline prices may come down a little bit. I don't think the bubble there is over at all. I think it's going to go on. I think we've just had a one-week intervention around the Fannie Freddie systemic crisis to try to keep things going, and within a few weeks, a month or two at the very most, it'll be back. Now let's shift gears. Let's go from the financial front into the foreign policy front. You know that one of the theses of this broadcast right now is that Bush and Cheney are simply figureheads. They have no power. Bush and Cheney count for nothing. The U.S. government is being run by the Principals Committee, the Principals Committee being composed of Gates at the Pentagon, Rice at the State Department, Paulson at the Treasury, and Mullen, Joint Chiefs of Staff. And that's what we've seen again this year, this week. The Principals Committee is ruling. The most dramatic, William Burns, number three of the U.S. State Department, is already on his way to Geneva to sit down with representatives of the Islamic Republic of Iran. He says he's not there to talk to them, but simply to observe the talks between the Iranians and the European Union in the person of Javier Solana, the NATO agent who is the foreign minister of the European Union. We've already heard from Bolton and Pearl that the Bush foreign policy has totally collapsed, has melted down. That's correct. Bush counts for nothing. Dr. Rice at the State Department yesterday said the United States has no permanent enemies. No permanent enemies. We're willing to have a rapprochement with Iran. How interesting. That's the Brzezinski policy. Why have Iran as your enemy when you can have them as your kamikaze puppet and pawn to play against Russia and China? And the obvious basis of this negotiation is the Iranians are being allowed to enrich uranium at the current levels using their centrifuges. And I have been adamant. Brzezinski is delighted if the Iranians get nuclear weapons. Brzezinski just says, hey, Iranians, make sure those are one-way nuclear weapons only pointed at Moscow. Of course, no such weapons exist. So everybody in the area has to feel worried. And, of course, the Israelis demoted from their previous status as centers of the world to the status of just another expendable asset are worried about this. And it is a justifiable worry, because with Brzezinski, we're now in the area of extreme adventurism. So Rice is signaled by sending Burns to Geneva that she's making policy. Cheney is reported to have his 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th heart attacks and apoplectic fits in the last few days, but he counts for nothing, and the new policy is moving on. Let's just go through it. With Iran, you've now got these talks, and Rice is repeating she wants to have a U.S. interest section set up in Tehran to promote negotiations and, of course, subversion, to prepare a people power coup color revolution against the Iranians if they don't do what the U.S. wants. That's another story. Back in a minute on World Crisis Radio. Welcome back to World Crisis Radio, Webster Tarpley in Washington, D.C. Remember, get your copy of Obama, the Postmodern Coup at Amazon.com. Remember the Puma Conference coming up in Washington, D.C., August 8th, 9th, and 10th. Let me also add, in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, this coming Tuesday, I will be giving a talk in the prestigious Docs, at the Docs series. So if you're in Northwest Continental Europe, do stop in Amsterdam. You can see that at Deep Journal, I believe it's called. Anyway, Docs on the Docs, Tarpley, Amsterdam. I'll be giving a talk about the world strategic situation and how everything you thought you knew for the past 6 or 7 years is out the window, and it's time to catch up. It's time to change gears. Bush, Cheney, the neocons are out. Rockefeller, Trilateral, Brzezinski in. And as a figment of that, the Principals Committee rules Washington, D.C. Better yet, Brzezinski governs, rules D.C. through the public servants or bureaucratic oligarchs of the Principals Committee. Rice, Gates, Paulson, Mullen, they're in command. Bush and Cheney are glorified janitors, groundskeepers, lame ducks, public relations, figureheads, whatever they are. Iran, talks are looming, and a U.S. interest section to further subversion. Iraq, now we hear Iraq is winding down. Yes, right, that's the Brzezinski policy, at least up to a point. Obviously not a complete abandonment, right? Not the end of the U.S. troop presence, not the end of the killing, not the end of the occupation, but from a level of 150,000 down to 100,000 and then maybe 80,000, that seems to be the Obama-Brzezinski consensus. So that all seems to be, that might make you think it's time for a burst of summer euphoria. Peace in our time, huh? No. They are escalating, first of all, Afghanistan. Obama is adamant any forces that are freed up from Iraq will not be repatriated. The boys and girls will not be coming home. They'll be sent into a worse meat grinder. It's another worse meat grinder called Afghanistan. They are determined to escalate 2 to 3 more brigades into Afghanistan and escalate the air war. They are killing Afghan civilians left and right. I believe they're actually there's an element in the target selection groups that are doing this on purpose, because the idea is to make this whole thing blow up. The goal of this entire operation is the destruction of Pakistan. So if you were worried about an attack on Iran with 70 million people and no nuclear weapons and no way to deliver them, you should worry big time about the coming attack on Pakistan, which is 180 million with nuclear weapons and the ability to deliver it. It is much bigger, much worse. If you're going to choose between attacking Iran and attacking Pakistan, take Iran any day. Pakistan is worse in the, maybe not in the immediate Persian Gulf sense, but in the long run, this essentially leads to the disintegration of the world. Right now, we're told that U.S. and NATO troops are massing on the Durand Line. The Durand Line is the British imperialist line of demarcation between Afghanistan and Pakistan. Already, NATO forces are shelling into Pakistan. U.S. air raids into Pakistan are going on the entire time, and it's just a question of time before U.S. and other NATO troops cross the Durand Line, and we will have formal aggression by the so-called coalition against the new and even puppet Pakistan government. These are Western puppets. This is the post-Benazir Bhutto assassination regime. But that's not good enough. Brzezinski demands not just a puppet regime in Pakistan, but the partition, the division, the balkanization, the carving of Pakistan like a salami into all those parts, you know, Sindh, Waziristan, Balochistan, Pashtunistan, you name it. There are other stands that that we're still trying to discover. Fragmented at least 4 to 5 to 6 ways, and then preside over that. That will, of course, bring the bacillus of separatism and a failed state into the Indian subcontinent, right at the hub of Asia. Not good. So the attack on Pakistan is looming. There is a huge U.S.-Pakistan diplomatic crisis going on. The new prime minister is complaining. We have any number of articles. I will have an essay about this up at a number of websites here in a couple of days, and perhaps published here in Washington, D.C. also. The diplomatic crisis is acute. And the Pakistani government at a certain point may well say, no, you're not allowed to invade our country. I don't know their capacity to resist short of going nuclear, which is maybe not the first option. But the goal of all of this is to so humiliate the Islamabad government, make them lose face, make them seem as a bunch of clowns and puppets and stooges, and not even getting any respect from their masters, to basically sweep aside Musharraf and so forth. So watch Pakistan. That is now the epicenter of this. So if you think peace with Iran, peace, the Israelis making deals with Hezbollah, that's another example. If you think Iraq is winding down, you think peace is at hand, wrong, because the war in Afghanistan, and again, that one is militarily even more hopeless than Iraq. It's much more hopeless than Iraq and Pakistan, which is now the big one. Plus, Brzezinski is looking at the Olympics. Charlie Chan at the Olympics. Remember that one? How about Zbigniew Brzezinski at the Beijing Olympics? The goal would be, you know, program maximum is a new Tiananmen provocation. Short of that, some kind of a large-scale stunt. Remember, Brzezinski is a great fan of the Olympics. He looks back to the Mexico City Olympics of 1968, which was, of course, a massacre, and the Munich Olympics of 1972 with terrorism and quite a number of victims. So that you can get an idea of what he might be trying to do. Now, will he succeed? The Beijing government, as we've just heard in the news, cracking down on this crazy Bjork and her pro-feudal, pro-superstition campaign. Let's see if that's going to be enough. But there will, I believe, that it's very unlikely that this whole thing will go by without some attempt to make that government there lose face. Notice also, Ms. Rice will be meeting with the North Koreans. That's the previous episode in this thing, that it was Rice who dictated the deal with North Korea, the delisting of them as a terrorist state. Cheney was apoplectic, but it didn't get him anywhere. Cheney is finish, kaput, out, lame duck. So you look at this list, the North Korean policy run by the Principals Committee, the purge of the U.S. Air Force being run by Gates, Brzezinski's office boy from the National Security Council, 1977, 78, 79, carried out by James Rodney Schlesinger, Rodney the Robot, trilateral Rockefeller operative from the Carter administration and others, of course, but trilateral in this case is the operative word. The Fannie Mae policy made by Paulson of the Principals Committee against Bush's wishes. The Iran policy now talks. Cheney doesn't like it. Bush doesn't like it. Doesn't matter. They count for nothing. The Iraq wind down, the Afghan escalation, they might accept that. And the Pakistan policy is not what Bush demanded. Bush always said, I talk to my friend Musharraf before I do any of these things. Well, no more of that. It's now unilateral bombing and invasion. And that's the Obama line. Attack Pakistan. Talk to Iran, but attack Pakistan. So, we will see you again soon. Remember, Obama the postmodern coup. Okay, thank you. We'll be back in just a minute to say a few final words.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
In Washington, D.C. Final reminders, get your copies of Obama, the Postmodern Coup, the Making of a Manchurian Candidate from Amazon.com. It is available. Scroll down to used and new available. Buy it there. You'll get good service from the fine people at ProgressivePress.com. An unauthorized biography, my unauthorized biography of Obama is imminent. So if you're interested in getting a notice of when that comes out, email to info, as in information, info@progressivepress.com, info@progressivepress.com. For those who are interested in the Denver convention and the organizing to stop Obama, the puppet of the Trilateral Commission, Puma Conference, anti-Obama Democrats here in Washington, D.C., 8th of August, 9th, and 10th of August. Send an email to Puma Conference, P-U-M-A, PumaConference@yahoo.com. If you're in the Netherlands, see you on Tuesday evening, Docs at the Docks. Look that up at Deep Journal. The website of my good friend Daniel DeWitt, leading truth activist in the Netherlands. So now we're left with, we've done the banking panic, we've done the power shift in Washington, D.C., the fall of Bush-Cheney and the coming of the Principals Committee as the ruling committee for the Rockefeller Trilateral Brzezinski faction, another faction of Wall Street, but with a slightly different emphasis, and you're seeing it now in Iran, in Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and you're going to see it above all in China. Notice also that the attack on Sudan remains simmering, an attack on Zimbabwe, perfectly feasible, Burma, targeted, the Tibet insurrection, keep track of all of those, that's all pure Brzezinski, and as we get into the late summer, early autumn, the Polish missile crisis and the Balkan Kosovo crisis, all available for Brzezinski to escalate. Now let's look at Obama. Obama having a bad, bad time, even from the point of view of such drooling acolytes as the decadent Maureen Dowd of the New York Times, the urban sophisticate and decadent, and the Wall Street operative Donna Brazile, part of the Howard Dean machine that assigned the nomination to Obama, despite the fact that he was the loser in the popular vote in the primaries. All of that now coming home to roost. Obama did delay his fundraising announcement. He wants to impress you. He got more than $50 million. If McCain comes in at $22 million and Obama at $50 million, remember that the experience of Ohio and Pennsylvania is that Obama can outspend the opponent 2, 3, 4, 5 to 1 and still lose by 10 points in any number of such places. There's a lot of nonsense flying around about all these states that Obama thinks he's going to carry. Most of this is Cywar designed to disorient these Republican operatives. I think the main thing is the convention. Now let's look forward to the Democratic convention in Denver. There's an interesting organization called the Denver Group, which has come on the scene, and they're making the demand that there be a roll call of the states in Denver. I would suggest going them a little bit broader on this. I think it's important to say, first of all, that there has to be a roll call of the states from Alabama all the way to Wyoming. Everybody called on. Everybody gets to vote for whoever they want, and nobody should be intimidated, threatened, purged, replaced. There should be no substitutes sent in. Alternates should not be used to silence the voice of the elected delegates. In other words, everybody at Denver has to be seated exactly as they were elected and chosen. No secret purges by the Obama Axelrod machine. It's important that all the Democratic candidates, the generally recognized ones, the ones who were in the cable TV debates all last year, 7, 8 candidates, maybe 9 or 10, they should all have the right to have their names formally placed in nomination. Formally placed in nomination means a nominating speech. It means a seconding speech or more than one seconding speeches. As required, as demanded. And there should then be the possibility of a floor demonstration. Maybe the convention will stampede away from the bankrupt leadership of the discredited and desperate demagogue Obama. That would be a good thing. This is what, obviously, Axelrod and Obama do not want. And there's also the question of the platform. There should be a full and fair and open debate about all sorts of platform points, lots and lots of issues. Should the war in Afghanistan be escalated? Should there be an attack on Pakistan? Isn't Obama a bigger warmonger than Bush when it comes to this huge country of Pakistan with 180 million people and nuclear weapons and medium-range missiles to deliver them? Isn't that an act of incalculable folly, Obama Brzezinski? But that's their anti-Chinese policy working. Anyway, all that should be discussed. Obviously, just the idea that there should even be a Democratic Party platform is an insult to Obama. Obama floats above such technicalities as issues and platforms, and he floats in all directions, as we've seen. He is truly the changeable candidate. He brings big change even from 1 minute to the next, right? Like the weather in various parts of the world. Right? If you don't like it, wait 5 minutes and it will change. So you've got all of that. So that would be some idea of the Denver convention. The Denver group is to be commended for what they're putting out. You can see them online. Various spokespersons for the Denver group have been out there. But there's also something more, right? And it's even beyond Mrs. Clinton, that the Puma Democrats, the anti-Obama Democrats, are going to be needed as a permanent political faction of the Democratic Party. If Obama gets the nomination, well, let's just say even before this, before the Denver convention, the Puma Democrats have got to mobilize in the obvious way to stop Obama. That probably means Clinton becomes the nominee. It might be somebody else, but Clinton is, I believe, the obvious choice. That's number one. There's also a question of support on what platform, issue questions. Clinton dropped out before Fannie and Freddie, before the bailouts, before this latest round of the banking crisis, before, in particular, the really extreme rise of oil to $145 a barrel. If Clinton had still been in the race, she might have radicalized in a New Deal direction further than she already did. The Pumas have got to make sure that that all happens. Now, if Obama is the nominee, then the Pumas are going to be needed to fight Obama, to prevent him from seizing the White House. There are other candidates you can work with. There's Ralph Nader. Ralph Nader is keeping up a good barrage on Obama. He should do more. There's Bob Barr. Whatever you think of him, if he attacks Obama, he's doing important work, an important public service, and he's been attacking him on Obama's FISA sellout. And you've also got this interesting Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente candidacy. Rosa Clemente, somebody that I know, I've been on the radio with her in New York quite a few times, on WBAI, where we live, with Sally O'Brien and Rosa Clemente. I've been their guest a few times over the past 3 or 4 years, so I welcome the candidacy of Rosa Clemente, and I'm very, very supportive of the anti-Obama possibilities of the McKinney-Rosa Clemente candidacy. So the Pumas have got to get organized. They've got to have positive relations with these other candidacies to create a powerful anti-war, anti-depression, anti-totalitarian front. And that's the project. So we'll be seeing you next week. Remember, in the meantime, Obama the Postmodern Coup, and send an email to info@progressivepress.com. to find out about the imminent publication of the unauthorized biography of Barack H. Obama, Trilateral Man.